Thanks for tuning into the Canadian Beacon Podcast. Canadian events for the regular people.
Welcome to the Canadian Beacon Podcast, another fantastic Wednesday night. Right now, the 7th of June. And we have a good show on for tonight. We have our usual and elite guests, and I don't even say guests, co-hosts, I should say, Paul and Todd. I thought that would be kind of interesting. We had some previous discussions earlier today with Paul. What were some of the topics we were looking at the time?
Well, we were talking about the alphabet agencies in the States and even Canada, and how a lot of whistleblowers are coming out of the woodwork. And we were talking about how is it that they can spread their message or spread their whistleblowing topics without any, seems like, repercussions. They're on Joe Rogan, they're on all these other big platforms where, you know, for lesser things, people have went missing or have been silenced, right?
Yeah, that's quite true. Like right now, we have there's one FBI agent that's come forward as a whistleblower, and apparently there's been some serious and threats from intelligence agencies to this guy's life. Apparently he's willing to testify in relation to some of the Biden cover-up stuff for Biden's son and things.
Right. Yeah, that's one of those instances. You have other instances of, we were talking about also too, the different conspiracy theories that are out there. We talked about Bob Lazard, about Alien, Area 51.
Yeah, that's another missions guy. Yeah, that's right. There was that other guy that's just come forward now. That's all over the internet, all over YouTube, and he's claiming to be a whistleblower for the NSA, and saying that the U.S. has alien spacecraft, a number of them, he said, in general. And he also said they have alien bodies as well, which they he's claiming. And right, he seems to be, apparently, it appears to be a fairly legitimate source that's coming forward. So that's another interesting thing. Well, have you heard that one, Todd?
Yeah. Usually there's like two schools of thought with that. One, they ignore you to limit your credibility. Mm-hmm. Or two, he's out there providing deliberate disinformation.
Yeah.
Because they want you to look somewhere else.
Yeah. Or also, let me offer a third one too. Maybe they're also out there too to let this guy go, to almost kind of like saber rattle. Let's just use the Ukraine-Russian thing. If they got these alien spacecraft that can go the fastest hypersonic speed that any plane has ever went, or that can go undetectable with different, whether it be radar-absorbing skin or just reappear, disappear, reappear. It might be one of these things where they're kind of like covertly, but out there saying, you think you've got all this technology, but we have more. And just whether you believe it or not, here it is. It's almost like, the elites, where they got to tell you what they do before they do it.
Well, it's something like Joel Skousen comes up with. Joel Skousen is kind of an expert on, he started out writing where you should relocate to, your best chances of survival. And his basic theory is that the globalists want to entice China and Russia into a third world war, where they'll initially attack the United States and then the counterattack with this, you know, these technologies will just absolutely obliterate China and Russia, but there's maybe a hint to it, the fact that, you know, there's that craft that they refer to as the TB3, which is the big triangular quiet one that doesn't travel very fast, but it just silently moves along. But that would be the assumption that the Americans are the only ones who have this technology, and why would it only be the Americans?
Yeah.
Well, and that was our point this morning. We were talking. We're like, why don't you hear any crazy reports coming out of China, out of Russia, about these whistleblowers, about this and that?
Mm-hmm. Or
is it a part of this disinformation? Yeah. Is it part of, is it part of this network of, look over the track record, let's say, of 25 years of Alex Jones? He's pretty much bang on the ball with most things. It's just the way in which he delivers it, where he talks about benzene in the water creating gay frogs.
Turning the freaking frogs gay.
Yeah, and he's dressed up as a frog hopping around, ribbiting around the stage.
Yeah.
Like, is it controlled opposition, or is it they release little things that who cares about? Nothing's going to happen to it. Is it
I think Alex Jones and a lot of these guys become a lightning rod for people that want to know if they want some information to get out, they'll go to him or people like him, right? Because he has a big audience and they'll be able to get the information out.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think there's, mathematically, it's a sure thing that there's other life in the universe. Whether they're tearing around in souped up vehicles probing people in trailer parks is, another issue. But I think, there's craft that you can't explain.
Yeah.
See, I'm gonna go off the thing of, I don't think you can draw that conclusion. It might be mathematically possible, but is it? The question is possible to probable. Is there life form?
Yeah.
Or is it just explained with energy fields, Tesla's free energy, the ether out there, these old theories that have been brought up? Really, when you look at the radar absorbing skin. That was found in a Russian textbook, I believe, in 1927. They were talking about doing this and the mathematical thing of creating this skin to absorb radar.
They didn't even have radar in that then.
No, but absorb light absorption and sound absorption.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you take a look, Tesla, Nikola Tesla. Where did he end his life? Like, we're at the end of his career in that, he was in Russia.
Was he, or I thought he was died in a hotel room in New York City.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been, but he was in Russia for quite a few years.
Yeah.
After being with Westinghouse and being discredited.
Well, see.
Go his way.
Yeah. It's all magic to us. But Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote 2001, The Space Odyssey, said that advanced technology to a more primitive race is indistinguishable from magic.
Yeah.
So there's definitely technology. I mean, the TB3 pretty much proves it, that it exists. And I think it's pretty much a given that there's been alien craft that have crashed. I mean, you look at what a lot of the stuff from Roswell, what initially came out was it was an alien craft, and then all of a sudden it became a weather balloon. They would have known it if it was a weather balloon right away. It was crashed at near a freaking Air Force base, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, look at Mars, though. Like, you talk about crashed spacecraft and stuff like that. How many Mars probes crashed and burned or crashed onto the planet before they actually landed one that was half decent? Uh-huh. Like, there are several spacecraft that were launched to the Mars that basically crashed on entry. So who's to say that didn't happen with aliens coming here, maybe, perhaps, or something happened, or,
Well, And you got to look at now modern string theory, where they're talking that there's potentially 13 dimensions.
Oh, yeah.
We are four-dimensional creatures, you know, space and time, right?
Yeah.
And that's four out of potentially 13 dimensions. So you can't see anything in, or perceive anything in the other dimensions.
Well, it is true. The visible light spectrum we only see about 1% of, right?
Yeah. So who's to say that there's beings that exist in these other dimensions?
Now, to play devil's advocate, to assume that we went to Mars, there is other theories out there that they just go up to Ellis Island or Baffin Island, and they have taken the landscape there and just put a little red hue over it, and there you go.
That would be a pretty hard. I've looked into the, you know, they say they faked the moon landing and everything like that. And there is
I agree with you, they did.
well, see, I don't think so. I think there was fake footage of the moon landing because there are people that say that Stanley Kubrick was hired to film sequences and things like that. For one, I mean, hey, it was a space race in the Cold War, so they wanted to have visual superiority.
Documentation.
Yeah, like just to see, live action and things like that of what they were doing. It's quite possible that a lot of it was fake, but I believe the moon landing was real.
I tend to agree with that same conclusion.
I think it's just too big of a
Masonic lodge.
project to be faked. I mean, they always come back and say, well, you know, how many thousands of people worked on the Manhattan Project, and they managed to keep it a secret too. But that was in a different time period with less information, way to get information out, right?
Well, I guess you can say then, looking at the past, the track record, then why haven't we been to the moon and set up a colony there so we can launch off into Mars?
Well, because, well, hey, that opens up a whole other can of worms. The fact that, yeah, they've been there. There's also, you know, the people showing film of the men on the moon and seeing objects in the background and comments made about other objects and things like that. There's theories about that. So
Like where
that's a
hash marks don't line up, the shadows don't line up, wind on the
yeah.
moon in a vacuum.
Well, and again, that's possibly why I'm thinking that there's possibility that sometimes they inserted some of Kubrick's film.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I don't
that's
know.
interesting. Yeah. That we have the actual objects, like the old parts of the landers and stuff like that that could be seen actually from Earth with telescopes of where the landings were. So that's another aspect. Like there are landers, like the base plates, you know, the base stage of the moon landers. Those are identified and located on the moon, and can be, if with powerful enough telescopes, can actually be seen.
What's also left on the moon is the cameraman that took a picture of the LEM leaving.
No, that was just a camera with a string attached. So when they went up, the string pulled the camera upward.
I believe that was the technology back in the day. Yes.
Yes.
Well, Paul, you bring up a good point on that one. You
Yeah.
have to say, okay, they must have been using radio telemetry from the camera on the surface, but I mean, I remember watching it, and
They focused in on it as it went away.
how would they get it in such a quick time frame? Because what is it? There's a delay, right? Even at the speed of light,
You
you
want
said.
answers? Yeah, I don't know what the delay is, but
You want answers?
I want the
Yeah.
truth. Yeah, it's just, the amazing thing is I went to Cape Canaveral, right, down in Florida, and we were there when they launched, I believe it was an X-23 when they retired the space shuttle and they launched it.
The
So
the unmanned one you're talking about.
that's right, the small little craft before the SpaceX, right? And it was interesting to see. Not once did I ever think, and this was going back probably about 25 years. No, less than that. But I never thought that like gold tin foil and things that look rickety, there's no way that was ever vacuum airtight. And for three or four grown men to fit inside of that, to just go and do washroom duties would be nearly impossible. You would break through the tinfoil as you're hurtling through space.
Well, I think that's why they never developed a, they did the space lab, which was kind of like a intermediary, and then the International Space Station. The problem is they, the logistical point of view of the technology they have to carry the people to the moon and actually build a self-sustaining environment was just too complex a task. And I think the majority of exploration is going to be unmanned because of, drone technology and computer power and things like that. You can launch a probe with robots like what the ones on Mars are doing right now, for a fraction of the cost.
But you look, even Elon Musk, like eventually the whole goal of NASA, where you were looking at their mandate, is to like occupy and populate and explore the universe and especially get onto Mars, right? That's their main overall running goal. He said that one way you could do it is try to create an artificial sun to try to warm up the surface of Mars during the certain parts of time with nu nuclear bombs. You could do that with. They do want to have space tourism, right? They are looking
Yeah,
for private and public.
I think that is just like that is like centuries away. I mean, the
Don't
fact
start
is that
space tourism. Also, hi.
hey, there's someone.
But Welcome,
they are,
Brian.
hello. They are actually already starting space tourism. Who is it? It wasn't Elon Musk. It was the other really.
Virgin?
Yeah,
Yeah, William
the
Shatner.
ones that have the spaceship that looks like a dick.
Bronson.
Yeah.
Bronson, or no, that's the
Yeah.
Amazon guy, Bezos,
Bezos, it was
Blue.
Bezos, yeah.
Yeah.
So they are actually already starting space tourism and launching people into, I think it was just low orbit essentially, but
Yeah, it was
flying
just
around there
like,
for a little bit. Yeah, the
yeah,
prices are
I put my pants
obscene.
on, just like the rest of you, one leg at a time. Except once my pants are on, I make gold.
More cowbell.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah,
But
that's already a starting industry. Yeah, actual space, like space-based tourism, like taking the Titanic out into space level tourism is centuries off.
yes.
But we're getting there.
Yeah. I remember though when we were kids, the you'd see the Popular Mechanics thing where everyone was going to have a by 19 or 2000 everyone's going to have a flying car.
Jetsons.
Yeah.
Well, we do have flying cars. But we
Yeah,
have
but
the
everyone
drivers.
would
They're really
have one.
inconvenient and they're really
Someone's
expensive.
playing. Someone's playing with the audio.
Someone's playing with the audio. What the heck's happening here,
Yeah.
right?
Having too much fun with the soundboard over there.
I really don't think much of the future, to be honest.
Not now.
Based
no.
on.
It's a trap!
Yes, it's a trap.
It is. Well, the future looked the way it did in the 90s because people had something to look forward to. It looks really bad now because it is really bad now. Right?
Yeah, the forest fires are taking over.
Oh, you want to talk about forest fires?
Global warming, forest
Ooh, yeah.
fires.
Forest fires.
You want to talk about forest fires? Dad, you might have seen that. I sent it to you on Telegram.
Yeah, actually,
you guys have seen it.
Paul mentioned it too. You see that satellite view that all the Quebec fires all started simultaneously?
Yeah. Yes.
What a funny sudden coincidence, eh?
Yeah.
Emil says that it was directed energy weapon.
Yeah.
That's the really sci-fi explanation of it. And yes, that's definitely a possibility. But there's no, from the satellite image, there's no like impact or strike on the locations. What it looks like more is a group of individuals were given a timing and an objective, and they went out into their GPS given coordinates and completed their timing and objective.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, if you look at most of the ones in northern Ontario, they're along a main highway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And British Columbia way, yeah.
Yeah, and I was up there last week, and pretty much confirmation from the guys is that most of them were campers. Things got out of control, people camping. Of course, and then, you know, we know of all the arson charges. You know, and that's when I had a shit fit on Twitter today when these dickheads like Trudeau and that little environment minister there, the retarded midget.
Yeah.
Environment Jesus.
Yes, Environment Jesus. What's his name? Stephen Gugubo. Going on about, oh, all these forest fires are climate change, right? Mm-hmm. And without any acknowledgement of the arson and the campers starting it, things like that.
We're the RCMP, right?
That's what my money's on, honestly. Like, the RCMP has a shady history. They're not above doing this. They've done worse things.
Or that we're just getting the January 6th FBI guys up here in the same khaki pants.
Yeah.
Starting the white man's front to set fires. That's essentially RCMP, if you want to call it.
It's the RCMP, right? That's Canada's version of the FBI. They're just the same shitheads, different name.
Yeah, and the left has its accelerationists, too, who want to bring on the environmental and financial catastrophe, right?
Yeah, well, you're seeing that now. They're using all of these forest fires as like, oh, look, climate change is causing this. When if you look at that video, it's 20-odd fires starting simultaneously in very separate locations. This was deliberate. This was intentional. Oh, yeah. And people were sent out and told to do this.
Yeah.
This is not climate change. This is a deliberate act of terrorism conducted by our own government.
Yeah. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. Most forest fires happen during thunderstorms and fire strikes after a long drought.
Yeah.
Or campers.
Campers too, but a lot of it, what would it be? 50-50 would be natural. The other 50%
or female firemen.
Yeah, we got to stop letting them out into the woods.
Right, exactly. But, you know, you take a look at that. I don't even know where I'm going with that. You distracted me off on tangent about females in the woods.
You're thinking of the female fire women's calendar?
I was thinking like the night on fire there.
It's like the night on fire.
You got to be careful. Some of those women might not be women.
That's right. Apple checks. Oh, boy. I don't know what I was going to say. So many ways you can go with this conversation.
Yeah, I know. Eh? So, yeah, they say what most of the fires, 95% of them are arson. And this goes along with that whole thought process, right? You know, especially from a satellite view when you get that so obvious ignition at the same time. Like, how do you explain that?
You know what I was thinking? This is my terrorism thought. Yeah. Eco-terrorism, and that's your minister of the environment, right? Who's been arrested already for that.
Yeah.
But you take a look at, just look at the past 20 years. If you look up old tape, I saw this online, and someone compared old tape. And it was before, when temperatures were under 25 degrees, it was green. When the temperatures, local temperatures, were 25 to, I believe it was 28 degrees, it was in kind of like a light pink, kind of a color. And it was over 30, it was in red, letting you know it's hot, everything else. They are now listing temperatures in the low 20s as very hot, critical, this and that. This is also another way too. We're coming out of, like, industries aren't around. They're going bankrupt. They're going south. They're going overseas and everything else. We're not into manufacturing. Our skies are so clear. Our air is so clean. And they're trying to blame global warming on all this. We've been at steady 22-degree weather. How is that global warming in June?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they've deleted history.
Yes. But you take a look at the same time these fires are being lit, I notice that when I look up at the skies, there's no planes leaving, I guess apparently they call it contrails, I call them chemtrails, because they don't need to, because they're already blocking out the sun's light, right, with these forest fires. The coppery color of the sun, everything else.
Were you up at like 6:30 this morning?
Yeah.
Did you see the sun?
Stupid.
It was red.
Yeah.
Like, from all the haze and the smoke, it was red. It was the sun. It was bright red. It was really weird looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing this. I don't remember seeing this in my lifetime.
Ever. Ever. And if you go back to old John Wayne movies, you'll never see, or all these other movies, you won't see tracks in the sky left from airplanes. And one airplane has one airplane doesn't. It's amazing how they now normalize that as being normal with geo-weather engineering. And they've got it in kids' movies, like in Planes, Fire and Rescue. They've got it in the air that this has always been here. You've got now where if you look at the new Top Gun as compared to the old release Top Gun, they faded out the sky in the new one so the sky doesn't look as blue and the clouds aren't as crisp. It's amazing how they're just like, this is what's happening because this is over time. The environment, the air has gotten worse. I think it's gotten better. I look across the lake of Lake Ontario and I never see a yellow haze anymore coming across from Hamilton or the Steel Town. You can see Toronto crisply and clearly.
Yeah.
Until you start setting forest fires.
Yeah. Like, so I was working out at Prudhomme's there for a while and like there were days where, most days where you'd sit there and you'd look across the water and you'd see Toronto clear as day.
Yeah.
No issues.
Yeah.
If it was a foggy day, yeah, you wouldn't see it. If it was a cloudy day, yeah, you might not see it. But most days, yeah, you'd see it.
But when I was a kid, you couldn't see it that well because you had the haze from Stelco to Fasco, everything else. We don't get that anymore. We have been getting this now because they're changing it.
Yeah.
Well, I think industrial effluent in the air and everything like that has improved.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was a report, like, there's a number of airports that were airstrips that were built right along the escarpment that trained World War II pilots. And, you know, back then, when the flying right off the escarpment, these pilots could not see the CN Tower at all.
Yeah.
From Grimsby and the Beamsville area.
In World War II?
Yeah.
Could not see the CN Tower.
That's right.
Oh, well, that would have been.
And Abe Lincoln once said.
Would you like me to, just in case our studio audience takes us seriously in that, should I enlighten the fact that, yes, the CN Tower was not in existence? Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Yep.
What?
Honest Abe said the internet's bad.
Yep, honestly, never trust everything you read on the internet. That's what he said.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like Gandhi and saying about shooting, right? Rapid consecutive hits are better than a slow, tight grouping. Thanks, Gandhi, for that one.
Yeah.
Are you talking from experience? I guess he was.
Yeah, he. Yeah. So.
I got to admit, anyway, it took me about a 3-second delay there. It must have been from the moon landing.
Well, it's his serious voice. He does this serious voice, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah, who's that? Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting with these forest fires. Like I said, we could spend hours just on that, because, like, who's doing it? Why are they doing it? Is it for the globalist agenda? Is it for the whole climate change horseshit that's going on? And what's it, Mount Etna?
Yeah.
Mount Etna erupted and in 11 hours spewed more CO2 gas than the human race ever created.
Yeah.
So Mount Etna's racist?
Nope. It, yeah. Trudeau says if he adds another 50 cents a liter on carbon tax, we could pay for Mount Etna's CO2 emissions.
Yeah, put a diaper over it.
Yeah, that's right. Could put a diaper over it and then send the rest of it to the Ukraine.
You know, I follow Gibbo Freeland. Freeland hasn't tweeted much lately. Trudeau and the Minister of Defense, and they all in lockstep will throw out a tweet, and it was all about climate change and the forest fires.
Oh yeah.
The forest fires are being caused by climate change.
Yeah, they're definitely changing the climate on us by setting fires. Mm-hmm.
That's right. They're like blocking out the sun.
It just reminds me of the Animal Farm. They're speaking to the sheep out there that will just say, you know, two legs bad, four legs good. They just be able to repeat, oh, yes, the forest fires are being caused by climate change, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
All new sports have been canceled the last 2 days. It is being rumored that the Niagara Catholic School Board will be closing school for tomorrow because of the environmental and because of air quality. Now explain to me how being at home breathing the air is going to be cleaner than being at school.
Yeah.
That's right.
And, you know, and common sense would tell you the fires are not across the street. The safest place to be is under a tree in the shade outside breathing oxygen, not in your house where smoke can concentrate, where air is not circulated. And you've got the volatile off-gassing of all the carpets and paints and all the stuff in your house.
So
how does any of that make sense?
The air filters in your house should do a moderate job of filtering out the smoke that we're receiving here. It's not a huge quantity.
No.
But on that note, like, I was working up in Hamilton yesterday, and it was rough. It was foggy. It was smoky. You could smell – it smelled like a bonfire, like – some of the guys were having troubles breathing. They were like their eyes were burning. They were struggling pretty bad. Uh-huh. Like it was not a good time out there. Being just like one of the guys went across the street into the McDonald's, right? McDonald's indoor, you got AC, air filters. He was fine in there. He was able to catch his breath, reconstitute himself, and get back into work.
And have a smoke.
Yeah, inside, right?
a couple of smokes
on the way back, just to level himself up.
Excuse me, I'd like to ask you a few questions if you don't mind.
But it was pretty bad. Today wasn't nearly as bad. I was out in Welland today, but it was not nearly as bad as yesterday was.
I like the Facebook meme where they did the air quality index today is like export A.
Have you seen the video from New York?
Yes.
Across the Golden Gate Bridge there? Oh my god, you can't see across the bridge. It's smoked out. It's gone.
Oh, they'd be getting all the smoke from Quebec though, right?
Yeah.
Like the stuff we're getting is generally mostly is coming from BC and Alberta.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know what, I'm not getting it too bad.
Well, I think the real problem here is the air quality is bad because media has been telling us it's bad. We should just treat this situation like East Palestine, Ohio, and just not report it. And then all that toxic plume doesn't matter because as long as it's not on the news, you know, it comes back to, no offense, Brian, but you're the guys you're working with, tough times create tough men. Too many people these days are like female cats, you know? There's no resiliency there. These are the same guys that will puff the magic dragon and then complain of air quality. I've worked with these guys. They're like on a French side, retired.
You worked with a lot of construction guys?
Well, back in the day in the factory, you have 300-ton presses blowing hot air in our faces, and they complain about air quality inside just to go inside and smoke a pack of cigarettes.
My research assistant got me a really interesting article from BC with respect to them saying recommending people wear N95 masks.
Yeah, there you go.
The end of round.
Yeah, because you know, the cheaper masks allow for short circuiting of air underneath the filter portion. Yeah. So
hold on a second. That worked a bit though. The cloth masks.
Let's see. Who wants you to invest in N95 or 3M, right?
What was that about Pierre's wife investing in all of that again?
Yeah.
Pee-pee?
Yeah. All pee-pee investing in all the COVID supplies and the COVID demands. His wife is heavily invested in all of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you see what was just came out. It was a study done by the U.S. Navy because of it was done in conjunction when they're looking at CO2 effects and stuff like that on submarine personnel. And they said now complicate it with the mass people wearing masks. They're saying that because people are wearing masks, they're breathing in that higher amount of carbon dioxide, mm-hmm. which is causing long-term brain damage to people over with extended use. And the more they use the mask, the more damage is being done to the brains and causing a lot of potential problems in the future. So I thought that was kind of interesting too.
But aren't they already brain damaged? They're in the Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you remind me of that joke. It wasn't a joke. It was a serious thing where two police officers were at this medical assistance call, and the guy was an asthmatic. And they're standing there while the ambulance guys are working on the guy, and the guy craps himself, and the one police officer said to the other one, he goes, the guy's dead. And then the other police officer says, well, how do you know? He says, well, he crapped himself. He says, when you're in the army and you crap yourself like that, it's a sign that you're dead. And the other police officer said, well, what if he is never in the army?
Fair enough.
Where's the drum roll on that one?
Yeah, that deserves one, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
That is the true story, my friends. Actually happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could tell you the two guys' names, and but yeah, I still remember that, and they're talking about, what if the guy was in the army? Yeah.
Insane.
While we're on the topic of military, you want to hear how the Canadian Navy embarrassed itself even further recently?
Oh, no. How'd they do it?
Put the boats in the water?
What do you mean? They're submarines? They don't have any functional boats.
That's right.
They just sink. So they had the Canadian Navy had a member post on Facebook recently. Pride is for everyone, and every sexuality is valid, and every experience is valid.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets bad. MAP rights are human rights. MAP being minor attracted pedophile.
Oh, really?
And MAP is a legitimate part of the queer community and culture.
Well, there you go.
This is an active serving member of the Canadian Navy.
That sounds gay.
Who is now under investigation by the Canadian military.
Yeah, that's right, for being a pedophile.
For being a pedophile.
Yeah. Well, although, you know what? I kind of support that. I think we should put them all on Navy ships.
Yeah, and then well, sink them.
They like probably like submarines.
Yeah, we like something.
Long, hard, and full of semen.
Just send them off. How about we just send them off into the horizon, and they'll eventually hit a wall, right?
Yeah, the great abyss. Yeah.
Terrible. Craig is on fire.
Fire.
I put pants on, just like the rest of you, one leg at a time.
But that's where this whole thing was always going. It was always they wanted a birthday cake, a wedding cake. They wanted this. Just them civil union. Now it's gone to minorly attracted persons.
Yep.
They're trying to tuck their junk in. They're dancing around at pride events with kids around.
Many holidays these people have?
They got a season now.
Not including the season. I can just list. I have a picture of dates here, and I can just list off the dates. I can tell you what the dates are for if you want, but I can just.
List civic off holiday the dates. Is one of them.
Yeah, go ahead.
So February 19th to 25th, March 21st to 25th, March 31st, April 6th, April 13th, 14th, 26th, May 17th, May 19th, 22nd, 25th, the entire month of June, June 23rd, 28th. July 14th, 16th, September 16th to 23rd. September 23rd is Bisexuality Day. Why? October 8th, October 11th, October 17th to 24th, October 19th, October 23rd to 29th, and the 26th. Yeah, obviously. Thanks, Liz. November 5th, November 8th, November 13th through 19th, and November 20th, excluding that month.
Wow.
They have most of the year.
They don't have December 69.
So,
but I heard that with inflation, it's 96 now.
The most, quote unquote, oppressed group of people has the most dates to be celebrated ever.
Did you, just to interrupt you, I wasn't really paying attention in the very beginning. Did they have any dates in February? Did they take any days away from Black History?
No, obviously not. They have no February dates. That would be racist.
Yeah, I would definitely put one in there.
We'll give them the whole month of February just to even it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Don't you find it ironic that the liberal crowd?
Oh, they do have February.
Trudeau and the Minister of Defense put out a tweet commemorating June 6, 44, D-Day. And went on about all the brave Canadian men and women. And I responded a couple times, one on how it's ironic that he goes on about this date when Canadian forces in Europe have to buy their own equipment.
Yeah, you saw that, eh? They're buying their own helmets and body armor.
Yeah, really? And the other was the fact is that here it is on June 6th, you're talking about the sacrifice all those guys made. And here it is as what's left of our joke of a military is prancing around for Pride Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Incredible. Okay, guys. Speaking of Canadian politics and stuff like that. What's the latest on Trudeau? He's been kind of laying low since he got that slam from Poilievre about his high school or his school days, hasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he's trying to make it all blow over, but it seems that be trending quite a bit on social media. Well, what did happen? Why did Trudeau leave halfway through? And what it was this NDA and why would he sign an NDA with a 14-year-old girl and her family? You know, that starts raising a lot of questions.
It was $2.5 million too, is the price tag that's being floated out there that he signed, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I wonder where that money came from too. Did it come from the Trudeau Foundation?
Probably the Trudeau Foundation. Yeah.
So that isn't that public? Wouldn't that be public record then?
Well, if it came from that, I'm sure it probably would be, but maybe.
Or the Liberal Party.
Yeah, or the Liberal Party or
China.
Or maybe like Trump paid it out of his own pocket, right?
Yeah. I don't think that would happen. I don't see that happening.
No.
Not when he's going to Edgar Khan's Island and
no.
all that other stuff.
And, he's working as a teacher, a supply teacher at best.
drama.
For a place. Yet he can come up with $2.5 million on a blink of an eye to pay off a victim, one of his victims, right?
That right. Seems totally legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know, like, crimes are crimes and should be investigated as such. So, regardless if he signed an NDA and everything else with this family and this child and all this kind of stuff, he still committed a criminal offense. Like, sure enough, he settled out of court civilly that there will be no communications. But where's the police investigating him for a criminal offense of sexual assault and sex with a minor and all that kind of stuff going on?
And one which there's where's no that? Statute that, of limitations on.
No, but what I'm saying is back then, there is no payoff or, you know, it's like if I murdered somebody and said, oh, I gave the family $5 million, so it's all okay now?
Yeah, my bad.
Am I okay now? Am I good now? No, I'd still go to jail for murder, right?
Yep. Same thing. The RCMP have been covering for the Trudeau family forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a huge file on Justin Pierre mm-hmm. that they destroyed after he died.
Yeah.
And probably his connections to communism, his degenerate sexuality, sexual practices.
His wife.
I mean, shit, they had orgies at Sussex Drive.
Yeah.
So they've been covering his ass forever.
Literally.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you. That tells me and you do a crime. There's one set of laws and one set of courts for us.
Uh-huh.
And someone else does it with a little bit of influence and a little bit of a recognized family last name. There's a whole different other set of rules for these guys, right? Yeah, you buy your way out of it.
Money talks, bullshit walks, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And like this has been going on for a long time, even recently. Like, look at Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much more of a smoking gun do you need?
Right?
Yeah.
There's a whole laptop of his self-recorded crimes. Like,
yep, that laptop, the whole contents of it, including all the emails, has been posted on a website, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd be
wary of going through that because there's probably child porn in there, and they will arrest you and I for opening up something like that was posted on his laptop, but he is free to walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, figure that out.
See, the thing is, too, is they have this amazing ability to just, like, when you reply to one of their tweets with an actual point of view that challenges the validity of their tweet, they just ignore it. Just like he ignores questions in when Parliament's in session or when he talks to reporters. And the media doesn't pursue it. They just let it go.
I've never seen him answer a question.
He's never answered a question.
He's answered a question, but jumped not to the question that was being asked.
No. He
asked the man a question about, I don't know, finances and balancing the budget. And he'll go off, I totally agree that global warming is occurring and we should be doing our part. And they're like, all right, well, what do you think about this? It's like, yeah, my favorite color is green. he answers questions, but not to the pertinent conversation.
Brian, yeah, Brian, you had a comment for that when Sun says something to you. What do you say to him like that?
Good and you.
Good and you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what can you explain about this outrageous expenditure on the budget? Good and you.
Good and you. Next question. Yes, you from CNN.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yep. That's good. So we have that. We've had the latest on the Ukraine, which is always a bunch of crap.
Yeah, the dam.
The Ukraine's launched a bit of an offensive. They lost, 250 people?
Oh, that was in one attack.
One attack, yeah, just recently.
They're up to something like 40 to 50 vehicles of, like, we're talking French tanks, British tanks, Canadian tanks, and IFVs and APCs and all mixtures of the vehicles supplied, along with infantry and drones and equipment being killed or captured.
Well, wasn't there that depot of $500 million that was blown up a week or two back?
The one we talked about a little while ago?
Yeah.
The one that was filled with depleted uranium rounds and has increased the radiation level in the local city.
Yeah. Chernobyl looks good now.
Yeah, Chernobyl's not too bad.
They're gonna evacuate the people out of that town to send them to Chernobyl.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'd do that. It's under Russian control right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Did you see the dam?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a good question for you. Who do you think blew up the dam?
Well, there's some Well, yeah, according to the media, but there are some people, like some experts, that are saying that there's been fire back and forth from both sides attacking it over the course of the war. Yep. And it's a possibility that it was weakened and the water levels were quite high. And they believe that led to its failure.
I'm going to go with the same people that blew up Nord Stream 2 did the dam as well.
So about the dam just failing, there was a report of a strike on the dam and a large explosion prior to it absolutely failing and collapsing. Somebody struck the dam and caused it to explode. It did not fail on its own.
That's another story, too, that there was an explosion within the turbine area.
Yeah. I heard there is a flight of several Lancaster bombers.
Piloted by a bunch of Canadians.
Flying low in the valley and kind of drop these rolling ball missiles bombs.
During the construction of the CN Tower.
During the construction of CN Tower, yes.
So,
yeah.
Oh, where was he? What was I going to say? So about 3 months back, there was an article written by Western analysts stating that the destruction of this dam would be the equivalent of Russia shooting itself in the foot. They do not want to break this dam. There's no point. It wouldn't provide them with anything. But the destruction of this dam causes multiple things to happen. Yeah, Ukraine floods a town and whatever. They lose a town. They don't really care. They've been sending hundreds of thousands of their own men to their deaths. What's 7 people currently missing from a town that flooded. The resulting action, though, is that the Russian forces have to leave their defensive positions in the area. They get flooded and destroyed. Their minefields get washed away. And the water level drops drastically once it clears out. So now the Ukrainians can conduct water crossings significantly easier than they would have been able to prior to with the dam at the high water level into unoccupied, undefended, completely unobstructed previous enemy positions.
Hmm.
Who struck
this
dam?
That's interesting because I tend to lean towards that as, you know, a rationale for doing it. Whereas I heard the other one, someone was trying to say, short term, it shortens the Russian defense line because you know, the areas where it flooded, they can't do a crossing right now. But you're right, long term, when those water levels drop, that's going to make it easier for a river crossing. And like you say, the areas that it's flooded are actually the path to the Crimea, aren't they?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely they are.
Yeah, and that's a good, really good
that
point.
That dam did hydroelectric generation for what areas?
I'm not sure.
There's a whole
that.
Series of dams. It's one of about four or five, I think. But
it did also provide the water reservoir for the local nuclear power plant. So expect to see something going on with that in the near future.
As well as a water supply to Crimea.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
it's like, you know what the fish said when he hit the rock, eh?
Ow. Get the drum roll ready.
Damn.
Oh, God.
Well, you know.
Yeah, there we go.
It also goes kind of like you said too earlier, lockstep with it could be a globalist agenda to have a food shortage, right? Aren't we told that Ukraine, Crimea, there is a breadbasket for Europe? You've got Holland there taking 3,000 private farms, defarming the farmers.
Yeah.
And then they're killing cattle there and in the United Kingdom as well now.
Yep.
Are they killing cattle? I heard that was in Australia. They're considering that too.
Yeah.
New Zealand, one of them.
It's coming to but you watch, it's coming to Canada too.
Yeah.
What's that saying? When the first world suffers, the third world dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Right? Like, this isn't just about making us suffer and creating a tough time for us. This is about a global situation. So people that rely on the amount of food that Holland, the Ukraine, and all these other major exports of food put out are now going to die because of the lack of food that is able to be produced. So families might go hungry, but ultimately they'll be fine. Meanwhile, in other countries in the less prosperous areas, they're going to die.
China, India, Pakistan.
You have Bill Gates on that TED Talks. If we do it right, we can call 15% of the population with the shots.
Yep.
And if the rest of it, we can do it through global famine, global war, everything else, pestilence.
Yep.
There you are.
And that's something a lot of people get wrong when they look at this situation. They're like, oh, that shot was designed to kill X amount of the population. Yeah, you know what? It probably was intentionally designed to kill quite a few people. But this is a multi-pronged attack. It's not a one shot, like 80% of the population is dead overnight.
No.
That would be way too obvious, and they would not survive that.
But also, too, it's there to, my theory is, it's there to kind of cripple and to create a health crisis to where people are unable to work. And you see you see wanted help signs all over the place because people are either on social roles, they want to be supplied and they want to be taken care of by the government, or they're just physically unable to perform their job duties due to neurological issues or heart or whatever it might be caused with this, like the 1,293 side effects that are listed. You know, but then you go and add the food shortage on top of it. Then you go and restrict travel. You restrict all this, like short flights from France. If it can be taken by an alternate route, you can't fly from here and there. Shut down farms. Go after nitrogen for the farmers.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
100%.
So,
well, I think the big thing that's going to happen here is
you've got another thing in the step.
Yeah, cyber attack and power failure are probably the next step.
But not yet until we go to centralized banking digital currencies.
No, I think they would do that afterwards.
I agree with Paul here. It would be far more effective for them to do a digital blackout and like a power failure once they have everyone's money conglomerated into a digital currency. Now you don't have access to any of your money.
Yeah, but they have it now. They can but cash is only 3% of the economy.
It's still a significant portion.
But like, it's not centralized. You have it under MasterCard, Visa, American Express. It's not under total government control.
Yeah, well, if there's a massive cyber attack and power failure, they're all froze up. Yeah, nothing will work.
We saw that a little while ago, right? When the Rogers net went down, people were panicking.
Yeah.
People couldn't pay for anything, right?
We were traveling.
It didn't bug me too much. I always carry cash on me, so I was fine. But there was a lot of people who were just screwed.
I know. Yeah. I was traveling when that was happening. Jeff and I were heading up to his property. Yeah. And it was we stopped in Orillia to a bank, his bank, and we're trying to pull cash out. Luckily, we pulled some out, but you should have seen the lineup. And okay. A lot of people weren't getting their cash. So I think personally, you're right. I agree with both of you that that's the route that they want to take. They want to go to digital currency. But what they have to do first is poison the existing well. And how do they do that? Financial crisis or cyber attack or a power failure.
But if they do that, but here's the problem. If you do that, then you don't have the whole populace buying into going digital.
Well, yeah, if they starve for a couple months, they will.
But they'll where have no do you come choice. Up with that? Because if you take all their wealth right now, there's nothing in digital currency to put into. If you wipe the books clean from MasterCard and all this other stuff. But remember, MasterCard and credit cards right now is actually not cash, it's debt. They're not gonna do that.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is the banking system. And if that's the case, then I personally just don't see until they usher that in to get people.
Yeah,
to
but
buy
people
into
won't.
That.
People are right now are already alerted to the digital currency issue and will be kicking and screaming about it. And the
I don't think they are, though.
I don't really think they are. People are. So,
the people that know, but the other people, they just go along to get along.
Yeah, it's easy. It's convenient. They're going to go along anyway, right? Like it's
my test area is where I work. And I work with all levels of people. And the only ones who are oblivious to it, pretty much, well, they know about it, but they don't really say much about it, are the under 30 crowd. The over 30 crowd, they all know it, and they are already suspicious of it.
Well, I work
the
with
state
libtards.
Has lost all the state has lost all credibility.
Yeah,
due to the vaccinations, the war in Ukraine. It's almost where I work. It's almost unanimously against it.
Where I work, unanimously, everyone that walks through the doors are essentially government workers and those that are brainwashed and don't see the forest through the first stand of trees.
Yeah, well, when they go hungry for a couple weeks, they'll certainly get educated or they'll get purged.
That's right. And this is a good place where we can wrap it up for us tonight, gentlemen. We have about a minute left. What do you have to say either, Paul? What we'd like to close with?
Question everything, accept nothing, and be critical.
Good. How about you, Todd?
Fuck Trudeau.
Excellent. And you, Brian?
If someone in the government tells you something, believe the opposite.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And on that final
note, thanks for tuning in to the Canadian Beacon Podcast. Please hit the like button and share the podcast with friends.